Our presenting sponsor is 3Chi. They are the industry leader in Delta 8 THC products. All of these products are formulated by a biochemist and made in the USA with USA grown hemp. CM Punk, our interviewee today, probably not going to engage in any of this. He's a straight edge guy. If you're not straight edge, I recommend this stuff tremendously. It's the best. It is a federally legal version of THC and a more functional alternative to marijuana. Gives off that amazing buzz and a great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety, paranoia, stuff like that. It's available online at 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com and at retailers around the country. You must be 21 or older to purchase. And remember, this is not CBD. It has CBD in it, but it is psychoactive. It will give you a buzz. So please use it responsibly. Again, go to 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com. And you can shop for Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, oils. You can make your own edibles. They've got edibles on the site now. They've got brownies, cereal treats, cookies. I can't wait to try that stuff. And I recommend the Incredible Hulk vape strain if you're looking for something to smoke. Use promo code MMB at checkout and you will receive 5% off your complete order. All right, let's get into this interview with CM Punk. All right, welcome back to My Mom's Basement, ladies and gentlemen. We are joined by a recurring guest and one of our favorite recurring guests. It's Robbie Fox, it's Jared Carabas, the From the Top Rope crew, and it is CM Punk. He is starring in Jacob's Wife. We've got a new horror movie from CM Punk out in theaters, digital, on demand, April 16th. I feel like once a year we get to catch up when CM Punk stars in a horror movie. Talk to us about Jacob's Wife and talk to us about how you've been, man. It's been about a year since we've talked.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love talking to you guys. Jacob's Wife is a horror movie that is, it's a vampire movie, but it's not a vampire movie. It stars horror legend Barbara Crampton, Larry Fessenden, Bonnie Ahrens. If you guys have seen The Nun, she's in it. I'm in it. I'm the least important thing about this movie. If you like horror movies, this is kind of like a love letter to 80s campy horror movies. It's got a lot of gore, but it's also got a great story. We kind of Trojan horse you with the vampires and the gore and the fangs and the blood. And we tell a story about a woman who is maybe trapped in a marriage, and she's kind of rediscovering herself as she struggles with these newfound powers that she has from getting bit by a vampire. I love this movie, you know, and it's not just because I'm in it. I'm just such a horror movie fan. And I watched the movie for the first time, I want to say a couple months ago. And I just loved it. It's a very underground horror movie. And if you know Larry Fessenden or Barbara Crampton, like, you will fall in love with this movie because they both absolutely run away with it. They kill it.
So I watched it last night at like midnight. So it was like the perfect time to like sink into a vampire movie. First takeaway, Barbara, 62. Are you kidding me? She looks amazing.
I know.
Was texting Robbie. I was like, are you kidding me right now? 62.
So I felt like such a creep because, like, I get it a lot where I'll see people on the street, or I have a lot of interactions now where people come up to me and they go, oh my gosh, I loved you when I was growing up. And it stings a little bit because I go, oh man, well, how old are you? You know? And they're like, oh, I'm 25. And I'm like, okay, man. Yeah. You did. You watched me when you were a kid. And, oh, I hated you because you beat Jeff Hardy. You know, they say stuff to me all the time. When I met Barbara for the first time, it was reverse roles because I didn't want to say any of that to her.
Yeah.
But I said, all of that. You know, I was just like, I'm sorry, I know what this sounds like, you're not old, oh my god, I love you. You know, I mean, I grew up renting horror movies from a local video store based on the cover art, right? And Chopping Mall was the first movie I ever saw Barbara in. So, and to be in a movie with her now, is I'm over the moon about it. It's so weird. But it's also weird to be in a movie with a woman who have, like, you've seen and oogled her boobs, and you're talking to her and you're just like, what's up, Barbara Crampton, you know? And like, it feels just so creepy and weird to say it, but her boobs still look so great.
So great. Like, the whole time I was having this internal struggle, I was like, am I rooting to see them in this movie or not? And then like, I totally was. Totally.
I'm sorry,
was.
Barbara. Like, I'm sorry, Barbara. I'm sorry. But
hey, you may not have to apologize. It's very nice things that we're saying about Barbara on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean,
positive things.
Yeah. She looked amazing, played a great role. It was a great character. Speaking of characters, though, how much did you have to channel Deputy Dewey from Scream for your character in this film?
0%. And that's not that's not a slight. Love David Arquette. Love Deputy Dewey. And I think actually because Deputy Dewey exists, you have a preconceived notion about what my deputy character is going to be. And I obviously don't fully go there. But this movie does a great job with like horror movie tropes and making you think something's going to happen and doing the opposite. So it's terrific.
You talked about like actually meeting Barbara and having that almost fanboy moment. I've listened to Howard Stern say that the best part of his job is getting to meet his heroes and getting to meet people that he grew up watching. Who have those people been for you? I mean, I'm sure in wrestling you met a ton of people, but like even outside of that, I'm sure you've done Comic-Cons where you've met people from horror movies that you grew up watching like Barbara and, you know, kind of got to fanboy out.
You know, I'd be hard pressed to think of somebody that I would really like, oh man, I really want to meet that person until it happens. Right. Like I got a lot of great stories from actually doing Comic Cons and signings and stuff like that of meeting people. I've always had a rule that if Val Kilmer's in a movie, I will watch it. Doesn't matter. And Val's done some movies over
the Snowman.
Years,
did you
right?
have to watch The Snowman then?
I watch everything Val Kilmer does, right? And being in the public eye, I've never wanted to bother people. Never do that. I was doing a Wizard World one time and I was walking to the signing area and I was WWE champ at the time. So I had this big 40-pound ugly belt with me. And the organizers loved when they got pictures of celebrities with other celebrities. And then they posted on the website. It's a good way to sell the convention. Like, look at this. Here's Elvira hanging out with William Shatner. Like, come hang out. Like, this is awesome. And so they wanted to get, he was like, Val Kilmer's coming in right after you. And he's like, I have him come a little bit early so you can meet him. And I was like, no, I don't want to meet Val Kilmer. Like, I don't want to do it. Cause you always hear stories. Don't meet your heroes. Yep. This is that. This guy is here at the convention to do the same thing I'm doing. He's signing autographs for hours. He's taking pictures for hours. The last thing I want to make anybody do is take another picture with, you know, no, we're going to get a picture. I was like begging. I was like, please no. So I have a picture of me where Val Kilmer is like looking off, like to hopefully find somebody cooler in the room to talk to. He's wearing a fedora. Like he's like the most aloof person. And I'm just like standing there smiling. Like this is awesome.
man.
yeah. I mean, it is what it is, you know. He wasn't a jerk. He wasn't like an overt like dickhead or anything like that. But it was just like I could tell, like he doesn't want to take a picture with me. He doesn't care that I'm the WWE champion. He doesn't want anything to do with this situation. And I was just laughing because I was like, yeah, I've been there. Like I get it. I know. I had a great interaction with William Shatner one time. We were in Chicago, I think, for the first Wizard World I did. And he literally bust into the green room and he was like, exactly. He was straight up Captain Kirk. He was like, my God, whose line is that around the corner? Did you see the line? He comes right up to me. He's like, whose line is that? My God, it's the longest line I've ever seen at one of these. And I was like, it's for me. And he's like, oh, good job, young man. Good job. Fucking great.
So now you've got Jacob's wife. It's a vampire movie. And you've done Girl on the Third Floor. I'm curious about like, because I know for me, I love horror movies that are totally based in reality that could actually happen to you. What's your favorite, like, because horror is its own genre, but what's your favorite like sub-genre of horror?
Gosh, I don't know. You know, I have love for a lot of different sub-genres of horror, you know, slasher films, you know, obviously, because it's like you don't, it can be mindless. They don't necessarily have to tell the greatest story. We're not going to delve into any social issues in a slasher movie. It's just you put a guy in the woods with a hockey mask on and he's killing teenagers, you know. I can get behind that. I mean, sci-fi horror is another great one where, you know, people argue, oh, it's not a horror movie, it's a sci-fi movie because it's in outer space. And it's just,
I don't care if it's on Twitter recently. Yeah.
Yeah. But if it's good, it's good. I don't care. Yeah,
that's
it's
why, like, Jason X is the best.
Oh man. What a great movie where he, yeah. where they run the simulation where he's back on Earth in Camp Crystal Lake and he's killing the counselor in the sleeping bag, which is like, yes, probably the greatest Friday the 13th kill of all time.
Yes.
I love horror movies regardless of what people want to classify as a horror movie. So I mean, Silence of the Lambs is a horror movie. Classic. The paranormal stuff is like the one subgenre that I can watch, but I'm not fully into it like I am like the slasher stuff or the monster movies. Especially like the Japanese horror, I've just never fully immersed myself in that. It's not necessarily my cup of tea.
You want blood and guts. You got to see the blood. Yeah.
I'm a fan of the blood and guts. Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt. I mean, when you're a little kid, you know, and like I said, I'd be renting movies based on the box art, you know, the crazier the box art was, I'd be like, well, God, look at this movie. This looks insane. Yeah, of course I'm going to rent that.
We had a discussion yesterday about owning one piece of wrestling memorabilia. If you could own one piece of wrestling memorabilia, what would it be? And I'm going to flip it for you and say, if you could own one piece of horror movie memorabilia, what would it be?
I've actually tried to hunt for this. I don't know what's legit and what's not. I'm not huge into eBay and all that other stuff, but the door off of the cab of the 18-wheeler Black Maria in Texas Chainsaw Massacre is something that I would love to own.
And you've actually searched for it.
I have, you know, but then you run into things where like people say they have it and you see pictures of it and you're like, is that it? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to get a certificate of authenticity for the door off the Black Maria, which was the name of the truck in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But, you know, if anybody wants to gift that to me, hit me up.
I was going to say, maybe this could be the start of like a second journey for this door. Like, if you know, if you know someone with this door, put Punk in.
I don't know if
let's get him.
You guys can see it. You talk about wrestling memorabilia. I don't know if you guys can see it, but like right there.
Oh, the urn.
That's the urn right there.
Is that from the feud?
Yeah, that's the urn.
Is that? I mean, was there more than one?
Oh yeah, they got boxes of them. But I had one on my my bus because I would, you know, I would take it to house shows and stuff with me, and then like 2 years after I cleaned out my bus, I like cleaned out the box that was in my bus and I found that. They're probably gonna sue me now or something.
they're gonna send you an invoice for that. Yeah.
It's not, and I'm kidding.
That's your relatives earn.
I bought that at a funeral home down the street.
Awesome. We actually just passed WrestleMania. I wanted to ask you, do you have a favorite WrestleMania when you look back at your time in the WWE? Do you have one that stands out as like either you had the best time at that one or you had your favorite match at that one, so you look back at it with the fondest memories?
I think the last one I did was a 29 against Undertaker. Yep. Just given all the circumstances leading up to that and everything that happened after it, you know, to me, that's like the most defining punk rock moment of my entire career where I didn't care about anything. I was a man fucking possessed, and I somehow simultaneously didn't give a fuck and cared way too much at the same time. And I went out there and I fucking absolutely destroyed it, and they couldn't follow me no matter what they said. And you know, people still to this day will be like, oh, you never main event in WrestleMania. And I say, yes, I did. Yes,
you did.
Because it's that one. Because
we were both there. You very much did.
You should have just packed it up and fucking went home after that, you know. Because
have you still not watched it back?
No.
Ever.
No.
Not even accidentally.
When you were wrestling, would you ever watch your stuff back then?
Not at that juncture in my career. There for sure was a block of time where I would watch stuff when I was, you know, training and wanting to get better on the indies. And, you know, you'd like watch stuff and nitpick it, see what you could do better, see what you did wrong, what you did bad, try to improve on things. Not at that stage in my career, now, man, nobody could tell me nothing. I was just like, yeah, you know, because that was the thing too. It was like, you know, they were playing my music, I remember, and they're screaming at me to get into Gorilla because I was down the ramp talking to AJ, and she was like looking at me. She's like, "You got to go," and I was like, "Yeah, all right," you know, and like obviously I'm straight edge and I don't smoke, but there was a very metaphorical like, "Yeah, all right, well, don't go anywhere. I'll be right back." You know, and I was just more interested. I was more interested in talking to the pretty lady than I was, you know. But yeah, I mean, I have fond memories of that. I don't want to ruin any of it by watching it.
Yeah. I mean, like that was an all time classic. But I have a 2-part question for you. Mm-hmm.
All right, I've got to interrupt this interview for a quick second to tell you guys about HelloFresh. You know, Punk probably won't engage in the 3-Chi, but I've got something that he can engage in, HelloFresh. HelloFresh truly has something for everyone. What is it? It's a program to cut out the stressful meal planning and grocery store trips that are super daunting to everyone, so you can enjoy cooking and get dinner on the table in 30 minutes or less. They deliver you these meal packages with just as many ingredients as you need for that one meal, so you don't have leftover, you don't have random spices hanging around the kitchen for months. And they offer 25 recipes to choose from each week. Vegetarian recipes, craft burgers, extra special gourmet options. There's truly something for everyone to enjoy. All recipes are designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. This stuff is even easy enough for me to cook. I'm really not a cooker, so that says a lot. I enjoy making this stuff at home. They have nice and plain stuff for me too, so I recommend it. If you go to HelloFresh.com/12Robbie and use the promo code 12Robbie, you'll get 12 free meals, including free shipping. It's a hell of a deal right there. Again, it's HelloFresh.com/12Robbie, and then use the promo code 12Robbie. You'll get 12 free meals and free shipping. And before we go back into this interview, I also want to tell you guys about One Championship, the biggest martial arts organization in the world. They are on TNT every Wednesday night in April, and you're not going to want to miss another stacked fight card, one on TNT 2, this Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time, right after AEW Dynamite. Timofey Natsiyakin, the Russian killer who knocked out Eddie Alvarez in less than 1 minute, finally gets his shot at gold this Wednesday when he faces the golden boy of One Championship, one lightweight world champion, Christian Lee. It's a clash of knockout artists. It's going to be amazing. Lee holds the record for the most finishes in one, and Natsiyakin has the fastest knockout in one, so this is going to be fireworks. One on TNT 2 airs this Wednesday night after AEW Dynamite at 10 p.m. wherever you are. Catch the prelims starting at 8:30 Eastern on Bleacher Report, and remember, the best fights are on Wednesday nights. Let's get back into it.
Last time that you were at Barstool HQ, you saw Roan again, who you were in a bachelor party with.
Yes.
So I asked Roan to get you to write lyrics from the Killswitch entrance theme. And mm-hmm. Roan would be someone who would write it himself, tell me that you wrote it, wait for me to get it tattooed, and then tell me that he wrote it. Can you confirm that this is your handwriting?
Yes, and I wrote that we were at a White Sox game, and yeah. I want to say, man, this is weird. I want to say that they really beat up on the Red Sox that day.
Ooh, yikes.
Oh, wow.
we couldn't believe it because the White Sox sucked, and I was just like, yeah, and nobody's really paying attention to the game except like maybe me and John Mayer, and I was like, they're really weak. They're like, how the fuck are they beating the Red Sox? The Red Sox are like really good. They're like the best team in baseball right now. And like in between me trying to eat an entire baseball helmet of nachos, I wrote that for you. So yes, that is.
All right. So now I can. I have had this in my possession for like 2 years now. Like just wait, because I love Roan, but he is definitely someone that would like wait for me to get the tattoo and then be like, by the way, I wrote that shit. Like he wasn't even there. I didn't even meet the guy.
Yeah, that would be very. That's a cruel joke.
Yeah. Probably 4 years ago now, Ron once called me from, like, you know, his buddy's number and said that he was, like, one of the heads of the
Report. Oh, yeah, that's
why. And
he's
like, listen, we got, like, an exclusive interview with Brock Lesnar for you. We want you to hop over to Bleacher Report. And I went to my bosses, and I was like, these fucks at Bleacher Report are trying to steal me. We better go, like, after them. And my boss went after them. She's like, you're kidding me. I had dinner with that guy last week. And it was all Ron at the middle of it, just, you know, all being Ron.
I forgot about that. Funny. That's why. That's why I was so skeptical. And I, when you were in the office last time, I totally blanked and forgot to ask you about it. So, yeah, no.
Just,
all right.
Just be careful with him. If you're around Roan again, keep eyes in the back of your head.
I don't trust anybody who works at Barstool.
Right. Right. And it was a two-part question. The second part was like, how cool is it to hang out with John Mayer for a whole day?
It's great. It's great to hang out with somebody more famous than you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, they can take some of the shine off you.
I remember we were sitting there watching the game, and like I said, me and John were paying attention to the game. Everybody else kind of wasn't. And all of a sudden, White Sox employees came like bursting into the room, and they're like, "Hey, we heard you guys were here. We just wanted," and like somebody makes eye contact with me, and they're like, and I go, no, it's okay. He's way more famous than me." They went and they printed a White Sox jersey with John's name on it, but the person came in and didn't see John right away, and they saw me, and they're like, "Oh, this is the wrong name." And I was like, "No, I don't give a shit about your White Sox anyway."
I'm not gonna say you're like,
So they're like, "Oh, great. It was beautiful to watch like people run to him and deflect everything from me. I was in heaven.
Have you been to like a Blackhawks game yet since they like started to allow fans back?
I don't believe they're allowing fans back. You know, we're still
really.
Yeah, Chicago still takes this shit seriously. United Center hasn't allowed anybody in. Cubs and White Sox are allowing fans. I'm assuming that has a lot to do with outside. Being an outdoor stadium. You know, still nobody allowed in the United Center.
Wow.
I've thought about texting people and being like, "Hey, come on.
Yeah.
Nobody's
allowed in there. Somebody's got to be in there."
I don't want to be that guy. You know what I mean? Get everything shut down, and it would get traced back to me, and they'd be outside my house with torches and pitchforks.
Yeah. Are you going to go to like the first game that they allow fans back? Like if your schedule allows?
Probably. I probably try to, you know, we'll see if that happens and where I'm going to be at, you know. It'll probably be a playoff game.
Oh,
nice. Yeah. You got another acting role that I would love to ask you about. This show Heels, I've been looking forward to for quite some time now. It's written by Michael Waldron, who has written for Loki, the new upcoming Marvel show, Rick and Morty, wrote Doctor Strange 2, which I'm like, geez, you got to be as a Marvel fan every day being like, can I have some info? Come on. So talk to me about Heels. Obviously, this is an independent wrestling show. You're kind of stepping back into the ring where obviously you're going to get tons of wrestling questions from this. You're going to get the articles and that. So the juice had to be worth the squeeze for you to take this role. So what was it about Heels that made you want to jump in?
I couldn't pass it up. You know, Waldron's writing the new Star Wars movie too, by the way. Did you know that?
No,
you had to have known that.
I feel like I didn't know that. He's writing the new the Patty Jenkins.
I don't know because there are so many Star Wars properties.
There's so many,
but Waldron's blown up, and he's still very much attached to this, which is great. I was in L.A. I want to say, man, it feels like forever ago, 2016 or 17, and I auditioned for the lead. In Heels, in front of like Waldron I hung out with Waldron like all week. You know, he's a great dude. Got along great with him, and he wrote a lot of this television show. I guess based off of me and Pipe Bomb, and like so a lot of it. And I auditioned for these Stars executives, and everyone was like, "Gosh, oh wow, this is amazing! You killed it! Everything was great." You know, the bad news is we're pulling the plug on the whole show. And I was like, "Oh wow, I did that good that I just tanked this entire show." That's good for my self-esteem.
They're like, we saw all we needed to see.
Yeah. This is terrible. You suck. But they brought it back to life. And I remember Waldron reached out and he was like, "Hey, I want you to hear it from me. Like they're bringing it back. It's kind of not my baby anymore, obviously, because that's what happens when you write stuff, you write screenplays, you sell them. They're no longer yours, but he's still attached. And he was like, Stephen Amell's got the lead. And I was like, that's great. You know, I said, that guy loves wrestling. So at least I know it's in good hands, you know, and I can't be mad that I didn't get something I auditioned for. I've auditioned for dozens and dozens of really rad stuff in my life and I haven't got it. And it's just like, you know, you see who gets the role and you go, oh yeah, that makes sense. I'd pick him. I'd pick him over me too. But I was super excited just to see the project get greenlit. And Stephen Amell, like I said, giant wrestling fan. So I was stoked. And then it, you know, comes back around that, you know, a role opened up and Waldron suggested me and like they hired me sight unseen. And I was just happy to be a part of the project. I was brought in for like a one shot and I must've done something right. Cause they immediately started rewriting episodes and they brought me back. So I'm excited for wrestling fans, especially to see this just because being around everybody for so long and seeing how hard they worked on it and how hard they wanted to be authentic to the wrestling world, how they didn't want to offend wrestling fans or wrestlers. And I saw Stevie Richards on set. I haven't seen Stevie in years and years and years. And I know they, as extras, they used a lot of wrestlers. So it's going to be super fun to watch. It debuts in August and I can't wait.
You mentioned loving to go to video stores and picking out horror films just based on the cover of the movie. What's one horror movie that hasn't been remade yet that you would love to remake and star in?
Oh man.
And would you rather be the big bad guy, the big villain, or like the Ash Evil Dead hero?
Yeah. And remember, this is like you want it to do well. Like it's not like a personal favorite of Punk's. We're trying to make some money at the box office.
Like he's putting his own money into this?
Oh man. Yes. See, if you want to make money at the box office, I'm not sure horror is the way that you want to go.
Halloween crushes.
Blumhouse is a different beast. They're killing it. I would honestly, like off the top of my head, campy kind of 80s movies that would follow in the vein of stuff that they have remade, like they've remade Child's Play and put a different spin on it. I would like to see a remake of Critters, I think. Ooh. Because I think in 2021, I think that could be pretty fun and special.
I can't do both. Like that would be one where I'd have to lie about seeing the movie when we do the interview. We'd be like, oh, yeah, it was great, Punk. Yeah. Man.
A lot of rats and Jacob's wife, too. I mean, like, if you're the small critters, don't.
There's a lot of rats and heels, too. And if you're a wrestling fan, you'll understand the reference.
That's a good one, yeah. What about They Live? Like, obviously, it's a Roddy Piper classic, but people would say Punk the Wrestler going into horror movies. I don't know. It would be a good fit.
Yeah, I mean, talk about a movie that still resonates today, right? Like, They Live. That's a perfect movie, though. You know, like, we don't need to – maybe you do
a
sequel.
Poster, by the way. You talk about, you know, picking a horror movie based on the box. They Live is one of the all-time posters with the sunglasses.
Absolutely.
Coming down. Yeah.
Absolutely. Maybe you do a sequel. You know what I mean?
Or, soft reboot, they call it nowadays. You put J.J. Abrams in charge of that. He just seems to be rebooting everything. Before we get you out of here, I tweeted you prior to, I forget which UFC number it was, though. It was Conor and Poirier. And I asked you for a prediction. And you said that you had this wild dream where Poirier finished Conor in spectacular fashion. As a Conor McGregor fan, I'm blaming you for that loss. I think it's you spoke it into existence, basically. But we have UFC 262 coming up. Michael Chandler versus Charles Oliveira. I wanted to ask you for, you know, the magic ball prediction that you've got on this one.
Well, it doesn't happen often, but I do have the occasional dream, and I'm not making this up. The morning Khabib fought Gaethje, I woke up from a dream where I was like, Khabib by triangle. And I didn't tweet it just because, you know, it was just like one of those things. And the same thing happened with Poirier and Connor. If I have a dream about finish going into this fight, I will let you know.
Let me know, yes.
But on paper, the way both guys match up, I do feel sometimes momentum has a lot to do with mixed martial arts fights and how they go. And I just think Chandler is, I don't think he's going to necessarily run away with that fight, but I think he has all the confidence in the world and he's got all the momentum in the world. And he's just a guy that I don't think you've ever seen Charles with knockout power in his hands. He's an amazing kickboxer. I think people think of him as a jiu-jitsu guy, but he's really not. Like, he's so well-rounded. I got to go Chandler. You know, that's my, I guess, official prediction. It's going to be a hell of a fight, though.
It's hard to pick against him after that Hooker fight, right? Where it's like, mm-hmm. if he goes out and does that again, you're going to be like, well, I'm an idiot for not assuming he was going to go and do that again after he mm-hmm. stepped in there with Dan Hooker in his UFC debut in a co-main event of a Conor McGregor card. Like, the stakes could not have been higher for him. And he went in there and one punch KO'd him. It was crazy, crazy to see.
It's the wildest sport in the world, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, we don't even have to get into the fighter losing his finger at CFFC. I was on vacation at that time. Talk about ruining a vacation. I was at dinner too. I was just like, oh God, fighter just lost his finger in MMA. Never heard of that before, but he lost it. You had to make the announcement over the last week. Everyone check under their chairs. We're looking for this finger. It wound up being in his glove, right? It was in his glove the whole time.
Yeah. It wound up being like ripped off and like tucked in his glove, which is, I mean, it's wild. It was wild while it was happening and we weren't really sure what we were seeing. But I was getting information delivered to me from like the cage. Like, I had owner Rob Hadak like running in between the cage and running to the booth to like tell me. He's like, his finger's gone. He was pantomiming to me because I got a headset on. And I was like, it's gone? Like, what does that mean? It's
You're
gone.
Like, I'm straight edge, but it feels like I'm tripping balls right now. What's going on?
It was, if that's what it feels like, man, drugs are awful.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Oh, my God. All right, CM Punk, this has been a great time, as always. Jacob's Wife, everybody, it's in theaters, on digital, on demand, April 16th. Like he said, if you're a horror movie fan, this is touching on all the tropes. It's going in and out of that spoof zone where you've got the legitimate horror movie stuff, but then you're like, oh, I remember fucking horror movie tropes. Jacob's Wife, check it out, April 16th. Punk, thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks, guys. It's always fun hanging out with you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, come for the vampire, stay for Barbara.